Sunday was Holocaust Remembrance Day, and during his remarks, Pope Francis made history and headlines by referring to the Armenian Genocide. Turkish officials said the Pope's remarks were far from any legal or historical reality. Turkey has long denied that during the Ottoman Empire 100 years ago, Ottoman Turks systematically exterminated Armenians. Let's bring in Fatma Muge Gerçek, who says she's had to come to her own understanding of what happened. She is Turkish and a sociology professor at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. She's also the author of Denial of Violence, Ottoman Past, Turkish Present, and Collective Violence Against the Armenians, 1789. To 2009. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And first, tell us, because it's worth reminding people, what was the political, economic, and social backdrop that led to the deaths of Armenians in 1915?
It's probably better to start with 1908, the Young Turk Revolution, when Western-oriented Young Turks came to power with proto-nationalistic ideas, and they engaged in the Balkan Wars and then World War I, where they wanted to claim Asia Minor, or Anatolia, for their own. And at the same time, however, these were the ancestral lands of the Armenians themselves. And as a consequence, what happened during the war, especially from 1915 to 17, is that all the Armenians of the empire, pretty much most of the ones in Asia Minor, were first forcibly moved, allegedly to other destinations, but with the intent to destroy them and to make sure that they would not return to their ancestral lands again.
We read by some accounts the males first were slaughtered, not just force marched.
Yes, the massacres occurred outside of towns. I mean, all the males, adult males, and others above the age of puberty were all slaughtered.
And it sounds like you're saying this is something of a land grab, but how much did religion factor into this? The Ottoman Empire's ruler was the caliph, the head of the Islamic community. The Armenians were Christian.
Religion is one factor that impacts the way in which society itself is structured, because non-Muslims in the Ottoman Empire lived under a system called the millet system, where they had pretty much self-governance, but no access to arms and armaments, and in turn had to pay also a special poll tax. And because of that, especially because of the fact that there was no intermarriage, one can say that they existed in Ottoman society, but they were not fully integrated into Ottoman society. Mm. And that probably was a more important factor than religion alone as such as an ideology.
That they were a minority and outsiders.
Yes.
Well, most historians call this a genocide. 22 countries, including Russia, France, 43 U.S. states officially recognize what happened as a genocide. Raphael Lemkin coined the word genocide with the Armenians in mind. He then used that word during World War II to refer to the extermination of Jews. But the historians who do resist the term genocide say that it was more of a messy civil war than the definition of genocide, which is a systematic extermination. You say what?
Well, it cannot be a message. For a civil war to occur, on both sides, you have to have two armies or at least two armed forces fighting each other. In this case, it was the Ottoman military or paramilitary organizations that basically took out not only the males, but also the women, children, and the elderly. That is not a civil war when you include and, I think, destroy your own subjects. That is why I think it's not a civil war.
Well, Professor, you're Turkish.
Yes.
And as I said, you had to have something of a coming to your own understanding. Did you once disbelieve, as many Turks do, that a genocide could have happened?
Yes, I mean, more than a disbelief, I was born and raised in Turkey and I got all my education there. And in our educational system, in our history textbooks, there was no reference whatsoever to what had happened, to the violence. Turks were always portrayed as very patriotic, innocent, and noble people. And the only reference I had was the group of Armenian terrorists killed diplomats from 74 to 85. So that was my only experience, and I knew nothing about why these Armenian terrorists were taking out Turkish diplomats, and I think that is also the only reference Turkish public has in Turkey, is that they only remember those murders. They do not know anything about what happened in their own past. I had to learn that later when I came here to the United States to do my PhD.
Well, and I understand there was a particular incident, an Armenian friend.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, when I was at graduate school, they said, oh, there's somebody else from that region. Do you want to meet them? And I said, of course. And he came, and when I told my name, he looked at me suddenly with hatred and said, why did you kill my grandparents? And I hadn't killed anybody. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But it got me thinking as to why, what could have made him so emotionally angry towards me. When my parents tried to raise me very ethically, and I knew nothing about what had happened, and that's when I started looking into what was it that I did not know, and that's took me all the way to writing a book on it, basically, eventually.
And what were your thoughts when you began researching this history?
Yes, when I started reading, morally and ethically, I thought it had to be acknowledged, because I could not imagine that there had been so much suffering in the past and that was not acknowledged. Some people argue that denial is the last stage of genocide because when you deny someone suffering, you do not enable them to heal and the wounds stay open and they cannot therefore, you know, move on with their lives and they also lose their trust in humanity. And those, I think, were extremely high prices for the victims to pay. And as perpetrators, too, one also loses one's moral compass and trust in humanity when one thinks that one can get away with violence without having to account for it or acknowledge it. And that is why I thought I should work on this topic so that we can have a hopefully peaceful future together in Turkey.
Well, and I understand there was a particular incident.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes, yes. When I started writing the book on denial, I did not want to call it genocide because I did not know about it because of our educational system in Turkey. And I didn't think it would be fair to ask Turkish society to call it a genocide before they could figure out what had happened. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I was very careful at the beginning. But what happened was that in 2007, one of my good friends and colleagues, a journalist of Armenian origin in Turkey, Hrant Dink, was assassinated. And his assassination, I think, broke something in me. And I said, the violence is still continuing, and, you know, one has to take a stand regardless. I've waited long enough, and that is when I started calling it a genocide. I mean, I knew it was a genocide all along, but I publicly wanted to wait for, you know, the Turkish society to at least come to the same point with me. But then I stopped waiting.
Well, I was going to say, how much longer do you think you will wait?
One hopes, I very much hope. I think the state's monopoly over knowledge has been broken with the internet. The younger generations are able to read and find things out for themselves. There is a lot of books that are being translated into Turkish now that people can access. So I think probably another decade, but truth shall, I think, persevere eventually.
Has it been hard? I mean, have you?
Yes, I've received death threats and I'm under FBI protection. It has been a difficult journey. I lost lots of friends. I made lots of new friends. It's a precarious journey, but what can you do? You know, you can't just stop working on things because things don't go the way you want them to.
That's Fatma Muge-Gurcik, a sociology professor at the University of Michigan, author of Denial of Violence, Ottoman Past, Turkish Present, and Collective Violence Against the Armenians, 1789 to 2009. She is of Turkish descent. Professor, thank you.
My pleasure.